Welcome to the Roundtable Otaku Podcast, Episode 17. I'm your host, Mr. A, and joining here with me today is Brian from Yaparides.
Hello.
Yes.
Good day to all of you.
Yeah, good day, good day. Actually, this isn't really much of a Roundtable Otaku, so it will be only me and Chi-san for this episode, yeah. Because Kuro is, I think, is busy. Is busy renovating their house, and I think they are gonna convert Kuro's room to be a sauna. So he always complains that his room is a sauna. So they'll just turn it to a sauna itself. So he would be, I guess, be glad for that. Anyway. So, as you have heard, let me just repeat, it will be only us and Chi-san for this episode, so it might be short. So,
yeah.
Yep. So, let's start with what have you been doing this week. So, just to long this episode to make it a bit, stretch it a little bit. So, before we go with our final verdict of the Noitama slot, which is of course Anohana and C. So let's just spice things up first. Let's bring up the momentum. So what have you been doing this past week, Brian?
Me? I've been slacking. No, actually, I've been busy.
I'm sorry? What have you been doing lately?
I'm still having problems in our inventory, so I need to search more. And just this morning, I fixed it up, and then we're ready to go. So I can now sit and relax with the roundtable of tapas. Actually, yeah, I just scheduled everything in this week. My schedules for this week, so that it will not be overlapping. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've quite free time to watch the Noitamina block.
Yes.
I believe I always watch. But unfortunately, I'm still not able to give written reviews to the both animes on Yaparides. Because aside from my time is not the anime is too deep. Yeah, I'm still thinking of what to write.
Oh yeah, because Anohana and C is just finished, we are now entering the first wave of the summer anime, and the Noitama so there will be a lot of first impressions again from us. If I'm not mistaken, the next in line for the Noitama is Usagi Drop and number six. If I'm not mistaken, no, actually, it's in the chart. If you look at chart, I mean the cart driver website. So, before we go with the anime, let me just ask you, how was your past weekend if I'm not mistaken, we already know that it's been a bit of a wet weekend today. I mean, this past week has been wet.
Actually, our classes last Friday had been suspended. No, we don't have classes last Friday because of the weather.
Mm-hmm. Lucky.
And yesterday we should have our supplementary classes on school, but unfortunately it's postponed due to the bad weather. And good thing today the sun came up and so it's fake to us.
I would prefer a cloudy day actually, and today was a cloudy day. This is Sunday, if the listeners are wondering what day are we recording. was Friday a bit hard on you on your home, because I think, was it yesterday? I think last Friday was a bit hectic here because the house, the usual, if the rain continues to pour, of course the floods will rise, and our house just got flooded. I think about Saturday night, or was it Friday night? So it took a little bit of a bit of effort to clean again the mud that just went past our house. So, how about your end? Did your house get flooded, or? Oh yeah, wait. If your house gets flooded, then what will happen in this in our case? Because you're living at least, I think, in Upper Antipolo, right?
Yep.
So it will be.
There's no flood here.
Yeah,
but our house is just beside a river that is quite deep. Yeah, the river is quite deep, so it won't reach our place.
Okay, so, because if it floods, there will be a water world here.
Yeah, the flood will devour over your house.
Yeah.
Actually, over.
So you will be an island nation if that happens. So I guess it's a good thing that it flooded here at least. So in terms of anime, actually, I've been doing a marathon of Law of Uwaki. I think you have heard of this anime.
Yeah, but I'm not really particular about this.
Yeah, because I read I read an anime blog saying that Law of Uwaki is a simple shonen anime, you just got to watch Law of Uwaki. So I did manage to watch 51 episodes in the span of 2 days. So it was quite a feat that I was able to do such a thing. So I'm gonna review that series after we finish our review of Anohana and Sea. So since that's
just a little bit of blips, what are your reviews? What are your assumptions on the episodes?
It was an enjoyable anime, if I say so. It's not something that you would want to watch unless you have a free time, a very huge free time. Because it's 51 episodes long. It's not one of the best shonen series that if you're looking at that. If that's your expectation, Law of Uwaki is not really that series that you're looking for. So I'll discuss why is this series not that great, but it's entertaining. Later when we finish off with Anohana and see which shall we segue into that episode, into that segment of our show.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Which one would you like to start? Do you want to start with C or Anohana?
Let's start first with Anohana.
I'm sorry?
Let's start first with Anohana.
Okay, let's start with Anohana, which is the last episode really starts. I actually called that episode "Cry Porn" because it's like half of the episode. What they just did is just cry, and what they did, and then they just shout "Menma" all around the episode. The episode.
I love you.
episode ended a bit of a rush. It's not because, and also it doesn't have that. I was expecting a very tearful ending, but the only part that made me cry is the part where Menma gave the letters to the group, to the Supreme Peace Buster. That's the only time that it made me shed a man tear. Because I guess it means a lot, because that's one of the most very touchy way of doing a farewell through letters. Even if it's short, especially the last letter of Jintan, it really makes me cry for that.
Yeah, Menma had a feel of guilt, yes. That he will be gone in a few moments, but yeah, she insists that she will be incarnated, and that issue with the rush thing, they should have been given a glimpse on what or how Menma will be incarnated, just like what happened in the movie.
Yeah, that's the last scene that happened.
Mm-hmm. That's really that also gives a lot of mind rejuvenating plots that goes into your mind. So that's a plus point if they did that, but unfortunately they didn't.
I was expecting especially when the talks about and when the series is starting to talk about reincarnation. I was looking for that particular scene that Otonashi and Tenshi scene in the last segment of the Angel Beats final episode. I was really looking for that, but of course it didn't happen. So yeah, it's a bit of a downer. And other things, actually the problem, I mentioned this. The entire episode really focuses. I mean, it entirely. I can really feel it was rushed. They didn't. Especially the first scene, especially the one where after the rocket was launched and they just meet in the shrine. They just suddenly just cried and they just poured out their frustrations, which it didn't really attach to me. It's supposed to make it. That scene was meant supposed to make the viewers cry, but it didn't, because what I feel is like, okay, so you're crying now. It's
okay,
just
they're okay.
The problem is they didn't establish a proper momentum to condition the viewers on what to expect in this final episode, because what they did is just the episode ended with a cliffhanger, then they started with the climax on the final episodes, and so it came off a bit rushed, especially in the scene where Menma just starting to disappear, and then suddenly for some unknown reason she appeared in front of everyone, which doesn't really explain anything why. Although I don't really look at it as do I have to know why, but it's kind of forced. That particular scene is kind of forced, and it's somewhat.
They beefed everyone in one episode, which is quite, reduces the cry factor into the episode, which we expect that it will be quite, it will be tear jerking, and you will be shedding man tears as if they're forever, like that. But unfortunately, the whole thing is squished, that resulted to some open flats that everyone, that some elements of it made some people quite confused. How did it happen, or what the?
Yeah, I agree. Especially what Popo just revealed on the shrine. That scene was supposed to be something that will further draw you to what Popo has regret, because. From what I have felt maybe when I give it a bit of an analysis on what Popo is really the one that's really hurt on the situation, because she has the power to save Menma, but she wasn't able to. That's why he's always forgetting that he wasn't able to do anything for the group. He always spouts that every time, and we finally revealed what really happened in his regret.
Yeah, and the conflict of Popo was not really focused and not really emphasized in the previous episodes. They all just focused on the conflict between Alan and Jintan and Kiatsu and Tsuruko. But yeah, Popo's arc was not really that explained to the whole series. That makes whoa. So it should have been explained further. We should have known more about Popo, because Popo maybe knows a lot on what happened that day.
Yeah, because he witnessed the last moments of Menma.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna add something that Kurushiko said. He said that Popo has the most. I'm just gonna rephrase it because I forgot the name.
Okay.
But he said that Popo has the most dramatic or the most deep conflict of all the characters together. Because he's the one who witnessed everything, and he cannot quite say it to everyone. That's a big conflict. And it goes within the group. Unlike others, the others' conflict, they go within themselves. The conflict within themselves. Their love triangle or whatever it is.
We it's kind of simple how Menma's wish really is, because the wish is just they just want, the wish that his mother wants for Jintan, that Menma wants to make to come true, is just to have Jintan cry for, because her mother really sees Jintan just putting up a brave face for her, despite the fact that the situation is really grim.
I think the wish was kind of late.
You find it late?
Yeah. They should have think a more deep wish. That, for example, there's a little bit of conflict. A conflict between Jintan and his mother that prevented them to have some close relationships that led to that scene. So I'm expecting more, a more deeper wish, not just make him cry. So what if Menma? Menma punched Jintan, what something like harassed Jintan to make him cry. So I'm thinking of that. It's quite kind of late.
Maybe I need to watch it again. Maybe there's something I'm missing. Why? I'm speechless on how to really analyze how does the wish really forms in all of this, which is kind of a mystery here.
And also, I'm kind of the, you know, the, and also you have to include the honors about what are the aims of men during that day. So, and that particular scene, you know, the men was some, wants to say something. And that was not really explained further during the last episode as I watched it.
Yeah, there's maybe because the episode really, I was really more bothered on how the pacing was. So okay. Yeah, I'm listening on the Skype. Yeah, okay, let's just put it simply really. The episode of the last episode of Anohana really came a bit of rush and they just didn't establish enough momentum. And everything that wraps up except for that except for that really there really scenes that are very touching. I guess it depends on how people interpret it. But the entire episode really if we're gonna rate the ending, it's somewhat of a safe ending. It didn't really end in a bitter sense, but it didn't end
as much of a happy ending.
Bittersweet? Yeah. Is it the best thing to call bittersweet?
Maybe. You know, because still Jintan has confidence. I mean, I'm saying confidence. He still have a burden in his soul. He doesn't want men not to be out of his to disappear. Mm-hmm. He still have that point of view in India, and it's still not clear if that was okay. Move on. Okay.
Anyway, we're already getting a little bit confused now. The more we analyze Anohana, so let's. Let's rate this series. So far in the 11 episode of Anohana, what do you think? If you're gonna score it from 1 to 5, 5 being the greatest, of course. How do you rate it?
I'd rate it as 3.
3. Wow. Okay.
No.
Yeah, wait. Yeah. What do you? Why 3?
Wait.
Yeah, why 3?
Because I'm expecting more.
Okay.
I'm expecting more, and I'm expecting that it will be a very dramatic episode. It's a dramatic series. The pacing is good on the first episodes, but it got really messed up when they introduced another conflict, which is that Jintan will try is the last wish, not the fireworks. So that's the point where they messed up. They all tacked the whole thing to be explained on a small span of time, but on the previous episodes they just been doing something about the fireworks, which is from this episode 1 to 9 they've been doing the fireworks and then the conflict with everything. Then afterwards on episode 10 the fireworks is not really the wish. So mm-hmm. they have another they need to have another fight, which was made me confused a lot. But still, it's a good watch. You can watch it, but you need to analyze it further to understand the story.
I never really realized, Brian, you're so brutal in giving rankings. It's three. I will give it four. Actually, I will give it four if the case from episode one to, except really for the final episode, I really enjoyed the journey of Jintan and the others. Really, if I can see the dynamics of the characters, they really took advantage, or actually they really put account on the pacing of the episodes. They just didn't focus on one character. The director focuses the development by group. So we usually see Jintan, Anaru, or we see Yukiatsu, Suruko. They always go in teams on when it comes to development. And from episode 1 to 10, they really delivered that quite well, especially in the and the momentum that it was given on the 10th episode, where the final moments of the fireworks wish, as they said.
Actually, so one factor that led me scoring that as a 3 is the final episode. Because I'm expecting a lot from the final episode. Yeah. I enjoyed, just like you, I enjoyed the first 10 episodes. But when it comes to the last episode, you have to expect more. Because it's the ending, and you want a good ending.
Because we're expecting to cry a bucket of tears in here, but we only shed a pint of it, and the episode it always boils down that we are expected to cry a lot on the final episode, because we know what will happen. We know that Menmo will disappear at this moment in this final scene here, but it the momentum the pacing didn't really match up to bring that emotion from us, so it almost landed a perfect score, but it didn't because of that. It's like they're good at making the beginning, the climax, but they just, I don't know what really happened here. It's somewhat like they just panicked, that they realized, oh no, we lack, that we had.
It's like they're thinking that it's 30 episodes, and then in the last week, oh no,
yeah, yeah. So, it takes a little. If you really like melodrama or drama especially, Anohana is really something I can recommend. Yeah, it's not for everyone. We can actually really say that it's not for everyone. And if you find the actions done or the action being depicted by the characters here, the illogical decisions that they have been doing, it will really confuse you, or sometimes even hate the characters, because why are they doing stupid things? But when it comes to really emotions, you really have to take account that these people are not really in the best condition to think, actually, or they just really have this sort of feeling that they just have to release. So Anohana is good, but it kind of failed to bring it a bit of a lasting it kind of failed in the end. So let's just finish at that. So Anohana is good, but it had a mediocre ending. So that's, I guess. So yeah. I guess let's finish Anohana and
also I'd like,
okay.
Okay. I'm expecting more scenes from
I don't think this
also the rush girl everywhere on the scenes, and they all focus on Anabu.
Mm-hmm.
Not actually the men, but Anabu. If you're thinking of on the first on the middle episodes, they they did an Enemy. So actually, I'm expecting that Zuko, because yeah, I'm quite fond of Zuko's character, but unfortunately, he's the last villain to be given the service.
I can safely guarantee that this anime has a good following. I think it has a decent ranking on the Noitama slot. I'm not really sure on anime history, or I'm not really sure if Noitama usually makes OVAs or epilogues or extra content when it's in its series that's being aired there. So maybe a supplementary episode would have been a nice thing. But let's just see. So speaking of which, let's move to C, episode 11, the final chapter or the final episode of the series. So I'll leave first. What do you think of this episode?
It's mind-breaking.
Oh, can you explain what do you mean by mind breaking?
It's mind breaking because all of the terminologies that they've been doing there is actually confusing because mm-hmm. they haven't really explained it. If you notice that, why did suddenly can you not? Actually, I don't have because. Then I'm just still confused on how the financial district moves. The future, and the term the future is the collateral. I'm still confused with that. It's still not clear to me. Because it's not really explained on the episode.
I agree that the entire episode actually is confusing. If we're gonna look at it, how the result of it, the result of the episode, you can find it like okay, it wrapped up pretty well actually. But if you're gonna realize it, if we're gonna ask, if you're gonna look at it a bit of a wider scope, so how did this happen? Or okay, is it the result? So how did it happen? They never really explained what really happened on it. We only know that the financial district, the Far Eastern financial district, disappeared because the yen just lost its value, and we got this hint that the Japanese government has now been using dollars. We can really say that they're using American dollars, US dollars, to supplement the economy of Japan. We don't know if Japan became the 51st state of the US, or it did have an agreement or it joined a union similar to the European Union, who all uses euro as their currency. We don't know what really happened, and we don't know.
I think you can a little bit a glimpse of how to explain that for yourself, because as you notice, the what's the name of the with the guy with the gold teeth.
The information. I'll just call him the information broker.
They also had a plan alongside with Nikuni's plan. They plan to spread all of that yen to the. Is that yen? Yeah. They spread all that yen to the neighborhood, and then they just noticed that. As the fight goes with the Kinimaro and Nikuni, the value of the yen goes down. Thus, the value of the dollar goes up. Which means that they want the dollars to be exploded. They want the yen to be exchanged by dollars because it has more high price.
Mm-hmm.
It's too confusing. I'm still confused.
Because
my mind is
still puzzled. Yeah, how to wrap this up? Because yeah, because the Jap no no the money in general is really based on trust, right? So we usually pay our things based on trust because this the money is really just a paper and we trust this value in the money. So we are so if we lose the trust on the yen or if they lose trust in the yen, it's just a piece of paper and if it loses its trust, the Midas money doesn't loses its value in general. We see that the longer that the inflation keeps on, the yen disguised as the Midas money started to come as Midas money itself. Then suddenly, as it continues, it just disappeared entirely because the yen doesn't exist. Nobody trusts the yen anymore. They trust more the dollar because I don't know, because it's the international recognized exchange currency. It doesn't really make sense, but that's how it goes. If how I interpret it actually,
I have a question. How do you interpret much? Because we all know that Q, how do you interpret Mashu? Because we all know that Q is Takako or Nikuni's brother. What about Mashu? Is she Anabi or her daughter?
That's really a good question because in the previous episode, we are implied or we are explicitly said or they explicitly told us that Mashu is a representation of the future of Kimimura's future daughter. That's why in one episode that instead of kissing Mashu intimately, he kisses her forehead to symbolize that he recognizes her as a daughter. But in the final episode, really it comes off as, why did Kimimaro kisses Mashu in the intimately, if you say, is she really a daughter, a sister or Hanabi? We really don't know. And also
in the last episode, she's really Hanabi, but yeah, that's the assumption the kiss, the kissing scene between Mashu and Kimimaro tells that there's a mutual relationship within each other, but not as daughters, as a couple or as a sister or what. But the closest one would be Hanabi. Oh, thank you. So maybe she's the future wife of Kimimaro. You can say that. Or maybe she's not Hanabi, but the future wife of Kimimaro.
We can, please continue.
No.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I was thinking really, in the epilogue, if you recall that, Kimimaro is checking the status of one of his former opponents and one of the closest relatives, not really relatives but like closest friends, people that has meaning to him, and we see that I think the professor, I'm not really sure if the professor regained his family, I think. Am I right?
Yeah.
It seems so. But and then he saw Hanabi with a group of kids. And there's this, I think I read a comment that it seems that Kimimaro seems that he doesn't exist in the world because it seems that nobody notices him. We don't see any interaction with Kimimaro and the people around, except for Masakaki, of course.
Yeah. Actually, I read also when they said that maybe Kimimaro is not.
Didn't exist now and then the new world.
Yeah, but I think maybe the represent the Hanabi girl that she saw there is not really Hanabi. That's why she wasn't really.
Yeah.
She's not. I lost my English.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I think that Kimimaro is existing on this world, but the reason why, I mean, he's existing on that future, but the reason why he's not being interactive with the Hanabi girl that she saw there, I mean, that he saw there, is that maybe it's not really Hanabi, it's just
somebody
else.
We can say, of course, I think Kimimaro is already aware of this, that when you bring back the future, it doesn't really mention or doesn't really say that everything will go back as it was. Despite all of his effort, I think the people actually change or something change something else or they are something new, if I'm mistaken. And we're never really given a chance to see Hanabi in person because it's just a scene of with his hair panning out of the screen. We really don't know if that is really it, and we in the epilogue we also have no indication of Mashu anywhere
yeah
there.
I haven't seen no indication as well as Bikuni, because I can understand Bikuni why he's not in there, because as you notice on the last lines of Bikuni, he said that we'll see in the future. Kimimaro said that Mikuni insisted that I'll be staying with the past. I mean, he's still with Alan Perry. So
yes.
Maybe he is somewhere over the moon. Or he's out there, not on the future.
And I really like that it somewhat pulled off a Madoka like. System, like even though the financial district disappeared, there are other financial districts. I was also thinking that since the far eastern financial district disappeared, but what happened is that Japan just joined the U.S. financial district. I'm not mistaken. I don't know how North America financial district, because they're using the yen. I mean, they're using the dollar now. So it kind of gives a bit of a how should I say this, a opportunity to for another trip to the world of C in the future. Maybe they can provide a better explanation on all the things that has been happening. Let's pull back a little bit. You mentioned that the economic gibberish has been mentioned doesn't really much have any sense, and the fight between Mikuni and Kimimaro was derived a bit brought on an epic scale actually, and pretty much I find I find really the although we I think we already know that Mikuni's point of staying in the present is because she's afraid. I mean, he's afraid of what will happen with his sister in the future. That's really the point. And Kimimura is of course saying that the present doesn't mean anything if there's no future. Blah blah blah. The battle really. Although at least they didn't have that classic shonen like that. They stand there and preach their songs to each other. At least in a sense. Although I find that battle a bit preachy when it comes to because they just spouting those redundant concepts all over. Overall, if gonna look at C, it is the unlike Fractal that they didn't really put advantage on all the elements it has. C is good when it comes to delivering or harvest or I mean, it's good at using its setting as a good as a strength because if. The entire journey in C is really about the financial district. That's what keeps us viewers really looking forward to the mystery behind the financial district. Although they didn't really explain fully, but they did harness it quite well. And they have good characters. Kimimaro, Mikuni, what was the IMF girl? Jennifer? Sarah?
Jennifer.
Then we have the charity guy. They all have this very interesting personality. And they were able to do it. The only weakness in C is that how to make something out of it. that's their problem. And they have this horrible pacing. And the result of those weakness really showed up in episode 11. We did enjoy episode 1 to 10, but in the end, those foundation of a coherent story just didn't really make up. Just sticked out in the end because what was really the point of everything that happened in C? There's no explanation. We're just being drawn in this result without any explanation. We'll just drag on and just enjoy the run and no questions asked.
If the pacing was good, if they explained everything on the first latter episodes, if they explained how the philosophy works, then they deserve a prize for it.
So if we're gonna rank this, of course, as like what we did in Anohana, I'm gonna give this a 3. So I'm gonna be a bit brutal here. Like I said, I already mentioned it has a good setting. They really use it to its extent. But the lack of pace, the pacing issues, the lack of a solid structure in the story, just didn't really made up to what it is. It's more entertaining than Eden of the East. I can say that. It's just that it would have been better if it's a 26 episode series or it just has the luxury of time. So what would you rank this this series?
Actually, well, I'm thinking of changing my score on Anohana with 4 and with this as a 3. Mm-hmm. Because, I think Anohana will be 4 with me. I changed my mind and then he will be 3. Why? Because I think Anohana deserves more recommendations. Because, it delivered a dramatic then C will be 3 with me because, as we all know, we have faith issues and everything, almost everything was not good.
Okay. It seems Kuro joined us for 5 minutes. So before Kuro disappears, can you, Kuro, if you're gonna rank Anohana and C for this as a series from the scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the greatest, what would you rank it? And explain why. Kuro, can you hear ya? Can you speak?
3
for what?
The
for what anime?
Anohana was okay. Anohana was okay. I gave him that,
but he just disappeared. I guess renovating the house really provides a bit of a internet issues as we speak of it.
Actually, that thing Kuro did was like saying the hand Anohana. He just disappeared.
Okay, Kuro, you're back. So can you explain why you gave Anohana 3?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, hello.
Okay. So okay. It ended okay, but it could have been better. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of people in Twitter commenting that it's justifiable to have mantis for that, but I didn't cry for that. It's like, okay, but not really. It could have been better.
So what would make it better? Any scene, any particular scenario?
No. Make it more dramatic, I guess.
So you also found that the last episode was a bit rushed. Kuro?
I don't know. It didn't feel rushed, but it just ended kind of meh. It's an okay ending, but it doesn't deserve that ending. It should have been more.
It would have been better if it pulled off an Angel Beats like ending where Jintan meets.
I don't know. I don't care. Anohana with Angel Beats. It's a different anime, and it has a different focus. So yeah.
Okay, then how do you rank C?
It was okay. It was okay too. I mean, here's what I'm gonna say. Anime ended pretty okay. But not as what I had not hoping for.
And what did you rank it? I didn't hear it. Was it 3?
Did you rank it? Yes, 3. I'm gonna rank Naitamina anime for this
season as 3. Yeah.
They're okay. They're not bad. I mean, I watched them from start to finish, so that's an achievement, but it could have ended better.
Yeah.
There is a more potential for a good better ending.
I really agree. There's really a bit of, maybe I'm starting to see here. Maybe there's really a bit of problem with Noitamina ending their series. They should have, I think, just considered making it a bit longer. Because
they should at least allow.
I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, give justice. 13 episodes.
They should have allowed the authors to make it at least a bit. I mean, allow the authors to have their own set of episodes. But I guess Noitama slot has a lot of there are a lot of pending animes in there from what it seems. So we cannot really say that that the creators are given much of a leeway when it comes to how many episodes they do. So sadly, that's the weakness, as I can say, in Noitama. Let's just hope that the two new series, Usagi Drop and number dot six, will provide a better package in this season. Although I'm not much hoping, but let's just say, because there isn't any anime, or no, except Madoka, I guess. There isn't a lot of anime that delivers a good ending, actually. Either they go with the safe ending, they just cut it, or they just make it a crappy ending. So far, what I have watched recently, of course, Brotherhood ended correctly. FMA Brotherhood. Kimi no Todoke ended properly. And Madoka, of course, ended properly. That's about the anime I can remember. So, let's move on to my review, which is Law of Uweki. This anime, it just happened to watch, as I mentioned earlier. I just happened to watch in passing because one of the anime blogs that I've read mentioned this anime as being one of those simple shonen anime that you would enjoy, and it didn't really fail for that description. It is an enjoying anime. It is an enjoying shonen series if you're gonna look at it. It focuses on a tournament which you kind of hard to see in this modern anime era. We don't usually see tournament at this at least like 50 episodes or 20 episodes long. If you have recalled Yu Yu Hakusho, Flame of Recca, most of their story are based on tournaments. And this one is also goes with that. It follows the same formula of all shonen shows, especially shonen shows that are rated in the ranks of Hitman Reborn. What can I say about this anime? First off, the backstory. This is simple story. Very simple. A kid inspired by someone wants to idolize this person and on the path of righteousness. So he joined this tournament to fights a bunch of opponents, make some friends, and battles this arch enemy, and then it's over. So if you're gonna summarize the entire story of Law of Uweki, it's just that. It's this kid fighting his own ideas until the end. If we can go a bit in detail on what this series really is, if it goes about being a simple anime? I mentioned it's formulaic. Characters. The character, the opponents, they're your typical shonen opponents. They are one-dimensional. They are simply in the purpose of being a obstacle, a stepping stone for the hero to rise, being the great person, the great protagonist, as they mention or as they say. That's the problem in this anime. It's very simple, but it could have been better in the sense that they didn't focus a lot on the other characters in the series. Most of the time, it's about Uweki. It's all about Ueki's power, Ueki's training, Ueki's story. The other characters are mainly there to drive Ueki's development further. And I cannot really blame that because the series is named after the main character. So we are not really put that into as a negative, but there are a lot of potential interesting bits and pieces here, and there are also loopholes, unexplained or untackled character developments like Ueki's father. We never really see much of a closure on that. Sanos, one of the characters, Sanos' development, and I forgot the name, Janet, the bead girl. there's this chemistry between the two, but they never really touch it in the series. There's some like, they're just like business partners, business friends, just casual friends. That's all. I see a potential in those two characters, but they never really develop it. If we're gonna look at the arch enemy, Roberto Gerard. Roberto Hayden and what's that? Hanon. Those two people, those two arch enemies of Ueki, or the main villains that Ueki needs to defeat, are kind of reminded me of Gray from Film of Reka and Hao from Shaman King. But the sad thing about this is that the two characters doesn't really have that evil instinct enough to convince the viewers. Actually, I'm not really convinced that they are evil enough to hate them. To have a similar hate to what Ueki does. Actually, Ueki doesn't really hate them to begin with. So, the anticipating fight between those two are doesn't really bring that much of an interest. While I was explaining, I was actually now starting the review of Law of Ueki, as you can see. So where was I? I was explaining the rivals or the villains in the series. Let me just start it again because Achisa just joined me.
Some PC problems.
Yeah, it seems so. Where are we? I mentioned that Law of Ueki is a simple shonen anime. For simple being that the story is just about Ueki and his journey winning a tournament. It's just about a tournament of determining the next celestial king and the protagonist or the people fighting for the candidates of this tournament will possess the talent of blank, wherein in a sense that they will obtain a talent. Any talent they want, as long as you read it there. So if you have the talent to dominate everybody, the talent to run, the talent to anything, just anything. So that's simple story. So the main character fights the tournament and wins. Now,
okay.
So it's very simple. The story, the characters, they're typical formula shonen. So everybody has their story that you can always predict, sad stories that you can predict, not villains that has this sad past that you would actually already assume easily. The main villains in this story actually reminds me of the characters, the main villains of Shaman King and Flame of Rekka. The main characters in Law of the villains in Law of Ueki are is named as Roberto Hayden and Hanon, and it wouldn't really make sense if you haven't watched it, but Roberto Hayden is somewhat reminded me of Korei from Flame of Rekka because the circumstances surrounding him and Kurei are similar, and Oweki, because they are both somewhat, not really brothers, but somewhat of the same kind, being under the same circumstances. So they're like brothers of fate, as I written in the review. And one is being driven by hate, and one's being driven by love or friendship. So if you're gonna look at it, it's really somewhat similar to Kurei's situation. And the other one, Hanon, is somewhat reminded me of Hao from Shaman King, if the villain name is correct. Hao. And he represented as this creature, a void person just wanting to destroy the world, but in actually just finding himself. So, but the problem with this two, unlike Kurei and Hao and Shaman King, they don't really have that villainness to be something that you anticipate when the main character Oweki faces them, because when during their final battle doesn't really have that much of a impact to me, as it comes to if you see Reka and Kurei fighting to their death in the last battle of Flame of Reka, or Hao and forgot the name of the main character Shaman King in the end. The problem with Law of Oweki is that it concentrates a lot on the battles, on the shonen battles, the battle portion of the series, rather than the characters' development. Aside from Oweki, all of the characters in the series never really had that development, aside from their physical training. The supporting characters are just the same as they were in the first episode. They have their set of goals. They never really changed from that, aside from gaining a few battle improvements. Aside from that, they're just the same. There's no development between each two. There's no chemistry formed. So it would have been interesting if there were more than just that. So in terms of art, character designs, Law of Oweki doesn't have, maybe because it's old, but if we're gonna discount being that it is an old anime I'm watching right now, the animation serves its purpose. Old animes tends to use this still panning effect. If the main character punches someone, you usually see a snapshot of that punching the character, then it will just pan left to right, left to right, or up to down. The typical way of describing a very intense impact. In this anime, it balances out, so there are a lot of action scenes. At the same time, it also complements those still pans, or this action pans, let's call it. So it doesn't really come off as a cheap anime. At the same time, it doesn't come off as a very elaborate or expensive production anime. So
should I say a niche anime?
I'm sorry?
Niche anime? It's like a niche?
It's not a niche, because everybody can enjoy it. If it's a niche, it wouldn't air in Q. And on Hero, if it's a niche. It has a shonen, if you're gonna look for a shonen anime, it's Law of Oweki fits the bill. But if you're gonna go beyond shonen, you can't really find it, because there isn't really a good development when it comes to characters. That's the only reason, that's the one of the things that I'm really looking forward, or not really looking forward, that is lacking on the series. It was enjoyable if you're gonna focus on the battles. It was an enjoyable ride, and on Oweki's journey to becoming one of the powerful power users, as they call it, to battle it out with a lot of junior high school students. That's just, as they say. I enjoyed it. It would have been better if they go beyond that, as I was saying. So Law of Ueki is something that you can watch and enjoy. Although if Dog Days hasn't aired yet, I would say that this is one of those anime if you would just want to just shut your brain and just enjoy the show. But since Dog Days is already here, I can't really much say that. But if you want those, if you just want a plain, no, not really a plain, if you want a good shonen show, Law of Ueki is an anime I can recommend. If I'm gonna rate Law of Ueki to 1 to 5, 1, of course, 5 is being the greatest, I would rank it as as 4. Being that, of course,
Why?
Because, like I said, it fits the bill of a shonen show. It doesn't have that cliche. It has this cliche, but these cliches are well delivered. So it doesn't come off as something as annoying or overly preachy. 4 because it didn't develop a lot of its potential in the characters. It centers around the main character and the main character itself. So that's what brought it down minus 1 point. If it does, then it would have been 5. The best shonen show that I've been watched is The History's Strongest Disciple, Kenichi, because it has a lot of character development in it. The story is very interesting. It's one of those series that makes you want to watch the next episode. Go on, and you're gonna. You will be staying the whole, I guess, if you can take it, 24 hours to finish the entire series, because after the end of the episode, you are having this urge to watch the next one, because you just so excited to know what will happen next. Duo Weki didn't provide that kind of excitement to me, but it is a pleasant show if you don't just want to have if you just want to have a simple one. So that's my verdict of Law of Ueki. It's 4 out of 5. Alright. So
Okay.
I guess we are done with this show. I don't have anything to add unless you have something to mention.
Actually, I don't have, because we just reviewed the two animes that we discussed earlier.
Will you be looking at the two Noitamina anime that will be airing next week?
I'm not yet decided, because I'm not yet planning for my watch list this summer season. But I'm gonna take consideration. We're gonna see the plot.
Continue.
If it fits my criteria, then why not? I will be watching it.
Nice. And when will you be finishing Dog Days?
I still don't have a definite time. Maybe next week, if time enables me.
Because it's ready, the final episode should be done by now. So I'll be watching episode 13. It's 13 episodes, and so far it's been enjoyable. But we'll just leave it in the next discussion. So let's wrap this up.
That makes me trigger.
Yeah.
That makes me trigger. I want to watch it.
So let's wrap this up. So where can you be found, Brian?
I can be found in the
house.
In the house,
yeah, of course. It's a running joke.
aside from my house, you can find me at yaparines.tk. Still jolted and not writing because I'm still confused with the two animes I'm reviewing. So watch out for that. And my Twitter account at @achisan. Okay, follow me.
Okay,
I'm a good converser on Twitter. I'm there almost every day.
Almost. And if you're not able to find Ajisan, and I'm also available on Twitter at Soledad, and also, of course you can listen or read my works at daramoe.com. I've been reviewing anime lately, and stay tuned. I'm starting to look at old animes to review. I just finished Love of Weki, that's 51 episode. I never really imagined I was able to finish it on one weekend. Although it gained me a few pounds for doing so, but it was worth it, I guess. So, to wrap this up, you're listening to the Roundtable Otaku Podcast, episode 17. I'm your host, Mr. A. Ajisan.
And Ajisan, hello.
Yes. Can we say Jamatane?
Maru.